Coming up this Thursday, Chapel Hill is hosting a pair of drop-in sessions to give updates about the Eastwood Lake sub-watershed study and get your feedback on flooding and drainage issues in the area. 11:30 to 1:30 and 5:30 to 7:30, both at the Chapel Hill Public Library. You're invited to drop in anytime to either one. Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library joins us here in the studio, confused for just a second because she thought I was going to be talking about this other cool event that's going to be on Thursday, Book Nerd Trivia Night.
I'm not sure which one's going to be cooler.
Probably Book Nerd Trivia Night.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it depends on how cold Eastwood Lake is. I've never had a chance to jump into it to see.
Is Eastwood, so Eastwood Lake, somebody recently told me that it used to be called like Granny's Lake or Grandma's Lake.
Oh, everything used to be called Grandma's Lake.
There you go. So yeah, super cool event tomorrow night, Book Nerd Trivia Night. This is the official kickoff for summer reading for grownups. We always do a big party for kids, which is next Friday. It's always on the last day of school. And this year for the first year, because summer reading is for all ages, we're doing an adult party kickoff thing. It's at the Crunkleton.
I'll be there. It's trivia from 7 to 10. There's four rounds. I'm going to be the trivia boss for one round. You'll be one for one round.
We have celebrity trivia bosses. It's a come and drop in. Trivia starts at 7:30 and goes on every half hour. So 7:30, 8, 8:30, and 9. I'm calling the last round. That should be interesting.
Oh, you're calling the last round.
Or maybe you are.
I think I was, but that was because I was going to be here until 7, and there was some worry that I wasn't going to be able to get to the Crunkleton between 7 and 10.
We can duke it out
tomorrow night. We'll make it happen. It'll work.
And you don't have to come for the whole thing. You can show up with a team, form a team. When you're there, come for one round, sign up for summer reading. Gary's being great, giving us the bar. He'll have, of course, great bartenders and drinks. We'll have some snacks. It'll be super fun.
Oh, you were going to say something else.
I was going to say the other celebrity trivia bosses are for
Meg
the
McGurk.
Kidlit Round picture book, Linda Ashman. Linda Ashman. And the fabulous Meg McGurk for the locally grown, nationally round. I believe you're the boss for the fake book news
round. For fake book news, yes.
And I'm doing books you should have read in high school because as this show has outed me, I have not read most of the books that I should have read in high school.
That's fine because I think pretty much the only books that I've read are the books that you should have read in high school
so
and I haven't read any other ones.
Right?
So I think we're pretty much covered.
We're quite the pair.
Can we talk about this menu of book pun themed drinks here?
Yeah, we totally can.
So
I didn't
the Crunkleton
do it. The other
has,
Susan did.
Oh, Susan McGuire did.
The coordinator of the event tomorrow night and our reader services manager, coordinator, rewrote the entire Crunkleton drink menu as literary puns.
So are these like the standard Crunkleton menu drinks, and we've got new Bridget Jin's Diary. Rum of the Ancient Mariner.
Yeah.
That's good.
My favorite is 100 Beers of Solitude.
100 Beers of Solitude. Harry Potter and the Half Bourbon Prince is pretty good. I think it's a stretch, but it's good.
It's what we do all day at the public library.
I like it. All right. There's a lot of other things that go on at the public library as well. We're speaking with Susan Brown, but we've got a silent partner here in the room as well. And I apologize in advance for looping you in on this craziness, but we are joined in the studio by Bronwyn Dickey, who is, I said Chapel Hill earlier, but you're in Durham, right?
Mm-hmm.
Durham-based
and
author.
And I won't stay silent for long.
contributing editor at the Oxford American. She has written for every magazine you could conceive of, and she just published last year Pitbull, The Battle Over an American Icon, which Knopf published last year. It's gotten a ton of press. It's a really, really good book. And she is next month, June, guest at the Chapel Hill Public Library's Friends of the Library Meet the Author Tea Thursday, June 15th from 3:30 to 5, and she joins us here now in the studio. Welcome and apologies or you're welcome for bringing you into the craziness. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Tell us about the book. This is awesome. It's about pit bulls, and this started with you getting a pit bull, right?
In air quotes, I guess.
Okay.
It's about pit bulls. I was not really interested in dogs as a subject at all. I was interested in more environmental journalism. And when I graduated from my graduate writing program in 2007, I was kind of casting about and doing various journalistic projects. And in the beginning of 2008, I was writing about a river in North Georgia for the Oxford American. And I made friends with the guy who ran the River Conservancy down there. And he invited me over to dinner. And out comes this very muscle-bound, very terrifying looking black pit bull. And
awesome.
I grew up in the 1980s, and I had always been terrified of these dogs. So my heart kind of skipped a few beats. But then she hopped up into my lap when we were at dinner and just kind of curled up there for the rest of the night. And so I started wondering why I had had all these kind of calcified ideas about what pit bulls were and why I was so afraid of them if I'd never encountered any.
Mm-hmm.
So since that was a data set of exactly one, and that's not very meaningful, I just started looking more and more into the subject and found how many layers there were, how much bad science there was about the dogs, how they had been kind of the subject of a massive media firestorm in the 1980s, and how much the way we perceive dogs is really the way we perceive other people and
yeah.
how we use them as proxies for our own issues.
I've got a really good friend of mine who got a pit bull 2 years ago now and loves it. Like, it's the friendliest, most adorable dog you could possibly imagine, but it does have that stereotype. So what was it in the 80s that, was it like one incident that the media latched onto and then every other similar incident now has to be publicized as well?
It was a little bit that, but it was, we had kind of been, if you go back in history, we've always demonized a certain type of dog, usually based on who owns that type of dog.
Oh.
There's always been the big scary dog of those people, whoever those people happen to be, whether when we're in war, it's the Germans, or, you know, during the Civil War, plantation owners would often vilify the dogs of slaves and say they were especially dangerous, et cetera. It's a power struggle between people. So we've always done this. And it's kind of a carousel of breed. And in the 1980s, they just happened to get slotted into that carousel when the media environment really changed. So with the birth of cable news and all these different ways of consuming media, that became kind of, it exacerbated the problem.
That is fascinating and sad all at the same time. Wow.
Yeah.
So what was the most fascinating thing that you learned in researching this book?
Everything was fascinating.
Yeah.
I could have, you know, I worked on it for 7 years, or I was researching the subject for 7 years and working on the book for 4, and I could have kept going for another 10. Really, how thin the science was on
mm-hmm.
things like this, how cavalierly people will talk about, oh, such and such a breed is represented most in bites, or, you know, such and such a breed is known to be more aggressive. But when you actually drill down and look at the science, it's incredibly flimsy. I was seeing peer-reviewed studies that were quoting things like Sports Illustrated for biological data, right? Or they would quote like a TV show or something, and then things would get past peer review, and then laws would be passed banning people from owning these dogs. So that was...
And now the science is there because you've got a peer-reviewed
exactly,
study than anyone can.
Exactly, because it has the
write.
Imprimatur yep. of peer review
so
on it.
So is there science at all? Are there breeds that are more aggressive than others that you know of? Or
it's really tough to say in terms of... You know, because we think about breeds as being this very strict kind of contained group, but especially in America, the dogs are breeding with each other in and out all the time.
Yep.
And some, you have huge pools of DNA, and then you have really tiny pools of DNA. And just kind of like with humans, aggression isn't just one behavior. It's like this huge, huge, huge spectrum of them. So you'd have to like divide it out and talk about which things you're talking about. So it's all, there's so much more that we don't know than that we do.
I'm speaking with Bronwyn Dickey, who is the author of Pit Bull, The Battle Over an American... I can't say the title of the book. Pit Bull, The Battle Over an American Icon, published last year, and it's gotten a lot of press. What's been the reaction to the book since you... Is it your first book?
It is.
Yeah.
It's been really interesting in that... all the people whose opinions I really, really cared about, you know, scientists, historians, critics who think about this stuff, you know, think about form and narrative all the time, really positive. And a large group of readers who really, really loved it and felt it was very helpful. There was this one, however, tiny group of people who are extraordinarily dedicated to hating these dogs, and they want to see them kind of exterminated.
Uh-huh.
And they have nothing but time and a lot of so I got, you know, just an incredible amount of flack and kind of internet harassment and threats and just weird, weird stuff.
Did any of them bother to read the book or?
Not that I know
of. Okay, yeah.
No.
Not a surprise.
Yeah, all right. So that was a little scary, but, you know, good thing that it's a very small group.
Yeah. Bronwyn Dickey is the author. BronwynDickey.com is her website if you want to find out more. But she's also the guest of the Friends of the Library's Meet the Author Tea, which is going to be in 2 weeks and a day on Thursday, June 15th from 3:30 to 5:30. They do this every month. It's a great opportunity to... Is it every month, Susan, or every
Just
other
about.
Month?
Sometimes yeah. twice a month.
Sometimes twice a month, yeah. Pretty much every month. 3:30 to 5:30 on Thursday, June 15th. Come at 3:30. Get refreshments, meet the author. The actual reading and discussion is going to be from 4 to 5. Will there be copies of the book there to buy?
Yes.
Should be pretty easy to find online as well. So anyone who wants to get a copy of this book, including myself now, get online and get a copy of that. Speaking with Bronwyn Dickey, who's the author of Pitbull, Susan Brown is in here as well. What do you think about this book?
I'm actually on the waiting list for it. I'm going to have to buy a copy
nice.
Too
right?
because I can't get, like, I don't have any special privileges. So I have not read the book. I've read some of the pieces because there's you had a couple excerpts from it. One
yeah.
talking about that dog that you met for the first time. I think you called it licked to death by a pit bull.
Oh yeah,
oh,
which
yeah.
Was not
that
my
happens
title.
With my friend's dog
right.
as well.
Which right.
like, totally not aggressive or bitey, right. but will lick
right,
you
right.
to
lick
death.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Which not my choice of title. You know,
yes.
now that on the other side of this, I can see you know, and having spoken with people who had you know very bad experiences with dogs, I never want to you know give the impression that I don't take that stuff very seriously.
Yes, yeah.
So, but yeah, that was the first kind of thing that I wrote about my dog. That was in Garden and Gun a long time ago.
Yeah, and that's one of my, so I am a book nerd, but I'm also a true magazine junkie. So I love so many of the outlets that you write in. So Garden and Gun and Oxford. But I actually, through her, discovered for the first time how great a magazine Popular Mechanics is. It's
yeah.
such a good magazine.
Yeah.
I thought it was like totally like science and nerdy and over my head. It's so great. And I have to encourage folks to read, and you can probably read this online, but you can also check out back issues of actual print magazines from the Chapel Hill Public Library. Ooh. Shameless plug.
Yes.
This is September 2016, and she wrote this great piece called Climb Aboard, Ye Who Seek the Truth, where Bronwyn got paid to go on a cruise with conspiracy theorists of all stripes and write about it. And it's a really great, I love long-form journalism and pieces like this. It's so good.
I love the fact that that's in Popular Mechanics. Like, I would have never thought that that would have been the outlet for an article like that,
and
but that's great.
If you like this American Life or John Ronson's work, I think it's
I was
right
thinking
there
about
John
Ronson, yes. yeah.
Oh, he was such an inspiration. And it was really hard
Them,
to work
yeah.
on this piece with him kind of in the background thinking, you know, how do I cover this territory that he's already done so well?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really interesting. I wanted it originally to be this kind of convivial piece about belief formation and how we can all believe these different things, but we have these commonalities and this sense of community and we can come together and enjoy
not
a
so
cruise.
Much, Ross.
Turns
not
into
so
something
much.
Completely different.
And that was not what happened. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but I did end up fearing for my safety a little bit at certain points because the word got around that I was some kind of government agent.
Oh, God.
And that made things a little dark.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Now I want to read that one, too. Okay.
It's great stuff.
Speaking with Bronwyn Dickey, who's the Meet the Author Tea guest on Thursday, June 15th at the Chapel Hill Public Library from 3:30 to 5. We've also got Susan Brown here in the studio, of course. And we're also plugging Book Nerd Trivia Night, which is tomorrow night, 7 to 10, at the Crunkleton, where you can order such phenomenal drinks as Huckleberry Gin, Gone with the Whiskey, and Madame Boozery, which is good.
That's a pretty good one.
That's a good one, yeah.
I hadn't caught that one.
Yeah, Crime and Runishment. I could just keep going on, but I'm not going to. But we've got some book, we've got some dog-themed trivia.
In a mashup.
Oh, no.
Dog book trivia.
Dog book trivia, all right.
Book dog trivia.
Book dog trivia. Trivia book dog.
Canine trivia.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you got?
I have a round for each of you.
Okay.
A custom
so
round.
So this is the sort of thing that you will experience tomorrow night at the Crunkleton if you are over 21 and you show up from 7
trivia.
To 10.
Yeah. We have test run it through folks to see if it's not too hard, not too easy. Like Goldilocks' porridge, just right.
Aw.
Oh. Okay, Aaron,
yes.
Your round is called okay. Name That Dog.
Name That Dog.
I'm going to name the author and the human, and you name the dog.
Oh, I'm going to be so bad at this.
These are so easy. The first one's like a total softball. It's just for you.
Uh-huh.
Beverly Cleary's beloved characters, Henry and?
Ribsy.
Boom.
Yes. Author. That's it. I'm out. I'm done.
No.
100%.
This is three-question rounds. Author Norman Bridwell's Emily Elizabeth and her larger-than-life dog.
Clifford?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh,
the clue was
so
larger than
easy.
Life. Okay.
French author, and you know how I am with the foreign author.
Oh, yeah, big time. I'm looking forward
French
to this.
French author Hergé.
Oh, yes.
Hergé's boy detective Tintin and his
and
trusty
his
canine
dog.
Sidekick.
Oh, my God. I can picture him. The shaggy dog with its white, you know.
Three?
That's not his name, is it?
No.
Two. His name is not Shaggy.
You're not Sandy.
Snowy.
Snowy! I was close. I knew it was.
So you
I
got
it was,
two out of three.
That's not bad.
Let's see how Bronwyn does.
That, according to Meatloaf, ain't bad.
That's right. Okay. Bronwyn, your category is famous dogs in classic lit. We're going to roll this Jeopardy style.
All right.
Okay? Sold into sled dog slavery, this dog from Call of the Wild finds both his inner feral beast and then discovers deep affection and love.
Who is Buck?
Boom. Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
I had a dachshund.
That was good.
I had a dachshund named Buck named after that dog.
Dachshund
yes,
named Buck.
You're already ahead of me.
Naming a dachshund after a half wolf dog.
Of course, right.
You know, it makes all the sense in the world.
I have a half dachshund, half Jack Russell Terrier.
It must be a adorable.
So cute. And his name is Hector.
Oh, that's perfect.
The Iliad?
He came that way.
Yep.
Right? Okay. By the way, what's your dog's name?
Nola.
Aw.
Yeah.
Aw. It's adorbs. Okay. Question two. This Dickensian dog from David Copperfield was spoiled rotten and more than a little narcissistic, just like his owner, Doris Benlow.
I cannot remember. The one who dies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Spoiler alert.
I can't. It rhymes with another famous Dickens character. It rhymes with Pip. Who is Chip?
Chip.
Who died by Dora's side.
Yes.
As many dogs do. In fact, all these dogs die at the end. Susan McGuire, the other Susan, who was organizing the Book Nerd Trivia Night, asked me to feature dogs that don't die at the end. I didn't
It's very difficult to find. And
there's a list in our catalog of books with dog characters that
don't die at the end. But it's hard to curate, right?
It's really hard.
Like I said, you go to see a movie and it's like a heartwarming movie, like a coming of age kind of story. But there's like an elderly like grandfather or grandmother figure. You know they're gonna have a hard time of it by the time the movie gets
to
the end.
It's like when the Star Trek guy shows up in the different color shirt, he's gonna die. When a dog shows up in a sad movie.
Yeah.
Okay. This is down to it. Who's going to take home the prize that I didn't bring because I don't have a prize?
I'm guaranteed a tie for first at this point. I'm good.
Instead of Old Yeller, we might call this classical dog Old Faithful. When his master Odysseus returned home after decades, this dog was the only one to recognize our Greek hero.
I write a lot about this dog in the book. Who is Argos?
Ding, 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 ding. Also died by his master's side.
Yes.
Yeah, after recognizing him.
After recognizing him.
I know.
Him, yeah.
He died.
Waited just long enough.
He had waited just for that. Oh, it's devastating.
Well done, both of you.
Thank you.
That is a tie for first.
High five that no one will hear.
Well done.
Wait, I'm going to high five myself in front of the mic so that people can hear it. There we go.
That's the sound of one hand high five. Two hands. Right.
Two hands high fiving. That's actually the sound of.
That's what that was.
The sound what happens when most people high five.
So thank you guys for indulging me in my dog trivia. And
you too can have just that much fun for 3 hours on Thursday night from 7 to 10 if you come to the Crunkleton for Book Nerd Trivia Night.
It'll be doggone good. No, wait. What's going to be doggone good is Bronwyn Dickey at the Meet the Author Tea on June
15th, which is a Thursday.
15th.
From 3:30 to 5, so show up for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And get a copy of Pitbull, The Battle Over an American Icon. I said it right, the third time's the charm. Bronwyn Dickey, thank you so much.
Thanks
Susan Brown, thank you so much. And I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks.